Zagdal Terebbe. For this reason, Chivu Razal Lokum Velamid Mipnei Kol Oisik B'Mitzvah Afim Hu Burva Amaret. Something very interesting. This is the reason. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this halacha. This is the reason that our sages of blessed memory made it obligatory to rise and stand in the presence of anyone who's engaged in a mitzvah, even if he's a boor and an amaretz, even if he's a peasant and an illiterate. And the boor, the Gemara says in Seitech of Beis, is even on a lower level of an amaretz, totally illiterate, uneducated, and absolutely ignoramus. Now, he says there's an obligation to stand up in the presence of anybody doing a mitzvah. So let me discuss this for a moment. Dr. Rebbe doesn't give the source here. You know this halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, there's no such halacha. Not in Shulchan Aruch of the Beis Yosef, not in the Torah, not in the Rambam, and not in the footnotes of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. The source for this is a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah in Bikurim, Peirah Gimel, Mishnah Gimel says that when the Jews would bring the Bikurim, the first ripened fruits, from their respective cities in Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim, to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Kayan, so kol balei umniyos shebi Yerushalayim oimdim lefneim. All the workers, all the employees in Jerusalem who lived there had to stand up when they came with the Bikurim. So the Yerushalmi in Bikurim explains, and the Gemara also says this in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Gimel, Daf Lamed Gimel Amad Aleph, and in Chulin Daf Nun Dalet Amad Beis, the Yerushalmi says, "Kama gadol koichon shalai say mitzvahs." Look at the power of people who do mitzvahs. Mipnei zaken einayim. The halach is if Talmidei Chachamim walk by the streets of Yerushalayim, the employees don't have to stop working, although they have to honor Talmidei Chachamim, but not if it's going to take away from their work and it can reduce their salary and so on and so forth. But for the Talmud Chacham, not for the person who's doing the mitzvah. As he's doing the mitzvah, they're obligated, despite the fact that they're working for somebody, they're laboring for somebody to stand up. The Bar Tanura says on the Mishnah, because chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, the Talmud Chacham has Torah stored in him. But the person who's doing the mitzvah, chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, when you're doing the mitzvah, and therefore they have to rise. And the Bar Tanura says, and that's the reason why by a bris, when they bring in the baby to be circumcised, everyone has to stand up, everybody stands up. This is the reason, because when the person who's holding the baby is going to do a mitzvah. So everybody has to stand up in his presence. However, the Gemara in Kiddushin and Chulin refutes this. Possibly. The Gemara says, maybe it's not because of the power of a mitzvah. Maybe it's because the imkein ata machshil on lasid lavei. If you don't stand up for them, they'll feel that they're not being respected by the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Nobody cares for them, and they won't come back again. You want to show them honor to tell them how much you appreciate their coming, and therefore you have to stand up. But it's not because it's a mitzvah. Now, in fact, when the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridaya in Reish Samachain, the Dinim of Mila, that you have to stand up, he doesn't say because it's a mitzvah. He brings a pasuk from Malachim that he stood by a bris. The Maisa, however, is that the Taz, the Turei Zav, says that it's a clear halacha. In Yeridaya, Simon, Shin Samach Aleph and the laws of a funeral, it says there in Shulchan Aruch that even if you don't have to go out to the funeral for whatever reason, you're exempt. Nonetheless, you have to stand up because of the people who are carrying the bed because they're doing a mitzvah. So you have to stand up. So the Taz writes there that b'chol dvar mitzvah sh'adam ha'iluch u'mesasik ba yesh lamed lefonof. Whenever a person is going to do a mitzvah, is doing a mitzvah, and you're there, you have to stand up in his presence, and he brings the Gemara in Kiddush. And Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the footnotes of Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the laws of circumcision, in Reish Samachay, on the words of the Ramah that you have to stand up by a bris, he writes, look in the Taz and Shin Samachay, which means he believed that the reason we stand by a bris is like the Bar Tanura says, because it's a mitzvah. And when somebody's doing a mitzvah, everybody has to stand up. So the Taz says that it's a halacha. And I also saw in the Sefer Chasidim, which Dr. Rebbe mentioned, if you remember, in 42, Rabbi Yehuda HaChasson in Sefer Chasidim Paskins, in Simen Tovkuf Pei, and he uses the Alter Rebbe's words there. I mean, the Alter Rebbe uses his words that even an Am Haaretz who's carrying a corpse or is doing a mitzvah, you have to stand up when he's doing it, because they stood up for the people who brought Bikurim, and therefore, even if an Am Haaretz Isaac b'mitzvah, yamdu kenegdai. So this is the source of the halacha. So the Alter Rebbe explains what's the reason for this. V'hainu, the reason is mipnei Hashem hasheichin u'mislabish b'nafshei b'shazu. He might be a boor, he might be a peasant, he might be an illiterate, but Hashem is dwelling, and Hashem clothes himself in this man's soul at this time. Right now, when this Jew does a mitzvah, asher kidishanu b'mitzvaysa, he becomes one with Hashem. Hashem's essential, Hashem in his essence, in his sacredness, in his aloofness, in his pure transcendence, is now present in this man's soul who's doing a mitzvah. When he's learning. Oh, you mean the Talmud Chacham? The Talmud Chacham has the Torah stored in him, but he's not right now performing the mitzvah. He has it stored in him. He has it in his memory. He has the Torah within him, but he's not right now engaging in the mitzvah. He is a Talmud Chacham. That would be apparently the difference. Rak, however, she'enafshei margashas, it's only that his soul is unconscious of the sanctity that resides within him at the time of the performance. Why? Not because it's not happening. Zog the Alter Rebbe, mipnei mosa chachomer hagufni shaloinis dachich. Because of the barrier of the bodily grossness, which was not refined. You see how he puts it? We all have a body, and that body may be gross and coarse and crass, and that creates a veil. And it dims, it veils, or darkens the eyes of the soul, preventing it from seeing it, the vision of the divine. Maris alakim. As experienced by the others, by the patriarchs and others of their stature, who, as the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Daf Yud Zayin, that they saw their world during their lifetime. They saw the spiritual world to come, which every soul then experiences the splendor of divinity and the result of a mitzvah, like discussed in chapter 39. They saw it even during this life. The Gemara says there that Shloishei Timon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Hazeh Mein Olam Haba. In this world, they had already Olam Haba, which is the level of Olam Chatira B'Chayecha that the Gemara discusses in Brachas Daf Yud Zayin, and Alter Rebbe puts the two together. Shero Olam B'Chayeim. But this is because they refine their body. The body has to be refined. It has to be plowed. It has to be excavated. The body creates a powerful veil. So the soul naturally would experience consciously the atomic nuclear sanctity of a mitzvah. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvayisof. When you do a mitzvah, you transcend everything. You don't only transcend the physical dimension, you transcend the spiritual dimensions of the world. You experience the purity of Hashem in His essence, that can't even be experienced and manifested within the parameters of our universe, within the parameters of human imagination. And that's a mitzvah. So the soul experiences Ma'aretz HaLekim, but the body dulls it, the body dims it, the body prevents us from that experience. In fact, it can be very boring, very unexciting, very uninspiring. There is a story that the Gera Rebbe, the Chidushei Harim, used to tell on Chanukah. It's a very powerful story. He said that the seer of Lublin, the holy Chayza of Lublin, was once sitting Chanukah in his chamber, and a group of his chassidim came to celebrate Chanukah with their Rebbe, the seer of Lublin. So there was a chassid who went into the seer to give him a kvittel, a pidyon, requesting a blessing for a friend of his, a Jew, who was having many difficulties in life, and also had powerful promiscuous urges. So immediately when he gave the seer the note, it was one of the days of Hanukkah, requesting that the seer pray to Hashem on behalf of this Jew, he looked at the note, he looked at the signature, and he went, "Two." The chassid was wise. He knew, don't give up. That night, he comes back with the same note. And the seer of Lublin takes the note, looks at the name, and says, "Ah! His light is shining across all of the worlds." He made with his hand. Across all of the worlds. "Sein Licht scheint in alle Elemus." He said in Yiddish. So he says, "Rebbe, what's pshat?" Before he was despicable, he says, "The first time you gave me the note, he was sitting in a bar, drinking and gambling. Right now, he's lighting Hanukkah candles. There's another light. Hashem sheichen mislabish benafshei b'shazu. If we seize the opportunity of what a mitzvah presents to us, that's our choice, what we do with mitzvahs. How we treat it, we can treat a mitzvah as the most boring, uninspiring act in the world. Of course, I mean, many of us do that on a daily basis. Or, for Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ditchever, 10 days without it, he was going crazy. How we treat the mitzvah, that's our choice. The Alter Rebbe says, regardless, you should know what a mitzvah represents. A mitzvah is the ultimate in life. Torah is the ultimate in life. Because it's that which transcends the ultimate in life. It's that which life can't even be a vessel for. It's not only the ultimate meaning of life, which is mamalik alalmin, it's the ultimate meaning of life that transcends life. K'dushasa yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hayu l'basar echad. To live with Hashem, to become one flesh with Hashem, like in a marriage between a husband and a wife, that's what a mitzvah is and that's what holiness is. You live with Hashem. You live with His reality, not with your ego. We usually live with our ego. Even if we're refined, so we live with something a little deeper than our ego. But to live with Hashem's reality, to live with transcendence, to breathe transcendence, that's what it means, a life of Torah and mitzvahs. Zog Dal Terebbe. We'll go another few minutes. What? The avos, does it mean you can only experience it if you're in the level of the avos? Well, the avos represented the ultimate of it. The Alter Rebbe is just trying to bring out he's going from one extreme to the other extreme. But obviously there are many levels in between. If this would not relate to us, it would not be in the Sefer Shalbeinim. I told you before, the Alter Rebbe says in this chapter, even if his heart is made from stone, that means he's talking about people whose hearts turn into stone. You know such people? That's who he's talking to. Im liboy kalev ha'evan. If it wouldn't relate to it. Now, I think if you work on yourself, and if you live with what the Alter Rebbe is saying, you can sometimes experience something of this. But you have to work on your body. If you sit on the couch and, you know, eat even better than potato chips, what are they called? An ice cream cone with a few, not with one scoop, you know, with a triple scoop or a quadruple scoop, a twirl, right? If you an ice cream cone with a twirl, and you know, you say, "God, come on, come in, let me feel you." It's not going to work. Why not? Why not? And the answer is because to begin experiencing the godliness of the world, you have to enter into a world of subtlety. You have to enter into a world of silence. And the noise, the static, and the crassness of the natural mundane reality that came into being by Hashem totally concealing Himself, if we cling to that reality, we cannot experience the world, the music of silence, the sound of silence. And one has to sensitize himself and cultivate himself and learn to transcend the natural ego. And ultimately, it's the mitzvah. With all our imaginations, we can go and go and go, but we can't get that essence. Now the Alter Rebbe adds another idea, or brings out this point in another form. And this is what he says. Zeu sha'amar osof beruach hakodesh ba'at kol knesses Yisrael shebegoyla. This is the deeper meaning of what Osof said under divine inspiration on behalf of the entire community of the Jewish people who would later to be in exile. You ever heard of Osof? Yeah. This is what Asaf says has been under divine inspiration for the Jewish people who will be in exile. What does he say? In Tehillim 73, Ayin Gimel, V'ani bar v'lo yedo, and I am foolish and know not. Behemos hayisimach, I was as a beast, as an animal before you. V'ani tamidimach, yet I am continuously with you. Now, let me just give a little preface to understand what Alter Rebbe is going to say here. Just the technical information surrounding Asaf and what Alter Rebbe means was Baruch HaKadosh and so on and so forth. We all know the Gemara says in Baba Basra, when the Gemara discusses who wrote the Bible, who wrote the Tanakh, so the Gemara, David wrote Sefer Tehillim. David authored the Book of Psalms, but the Gemara says that it was Ayidei Asara Skenim. David compiled the melodies and the poems and the hymns of 10 people, including his own, and he transcribed their poems on paper. Who were these 10 people? So the Gemara says, Adam Arishain, Malki Tzedek, Avraham, who's called Eson Hezrachi, Moshe Rabbeinu, Haman, Yedusun, Asaf, and the three sons of Korach. That's 10. And David transcribed their hymns, and that makes up the Book of Tehillim, combined with his own songs. Rashi writes that part of these 10 people lived in David HaMelech's times, who? Asaf, Haman, and Yedusun. They were Levites. They were from the Levim HaMashayirim, from the Levites who sung in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. And these three people lived in the time of David. Tosfos brings a version that Shloimeh has to be added. If Shloimeh has to be added, he takes out Asaf. And he says that Asaf was Avi Asaf and was one of the three sons of Korach. So that places Asaf at a much earlier period in history, not in David HaMelech's times, but actually in Moshe Rabbeinu's times. That's another version. Rashi in the beginning of Tehillim gives us another list. He takes out Yedusun and Haman, and he puts in David and Shloimeh. But Asaf remains. So he's Asaf. Now the Alter Rebbe says Asaf said is Beruach HaKodesh. He doesn't say with prophecy, he says with Ruach HaKodesh. Because again, in the famous Gemara in Megillah, where is it? Megillah Yudalid, I believe. The Gemara says that there are 48 prophecies that were transcribed in the Tanakh by 48 prophets. And Rashi enumerates the 48 prophets of Israel, although there were many more, but the prophecies that had eternal bearing were transcribed, and those are 48. And Rashi goes through 46, and then he says, Shnayim lo yadayte, I don't know the other two. He brings it from the book known as Seder Elam. Asaf is not counted among them. So although the Gra, the Vilner Gaon, in his footnotes there, has a Girsun Seder Olam where he does count Asaf, but in Rashi's Girsun Seder Olam, he obviously doesn't count Asaf. Rabbeinu Chananel also counts Asaf. But Rashi doesn't. Nonetheless, it's Ruach HaKodesh. It's not Nevuah, but it's Ruach HaKodesh. What's the difference between prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh? The difference is, you know the difference, David, between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh? This is up your alley. Okay. We'll discuss it from previous sources a little bit. the Radak, Reb David Kimchi, in his commentary on Tehillim, he opens up the introduction to Tehillim. He says, Ksuvim was not written by Nevuah, it was written by Ruach HaKadosh, and that's why it's not called Nevi'im. Ksuvim means it was written, unlike Nevi'im, which means prophecies, it was written through divine inspiration. What's the difference between prophecy and Ruach HaKadosh? So this is what the Radak says. He says it very briefly, but I think the point he's making is as follows. Nevuah, prophecy, totally overwhelms you. Prophecy is a transcendental experience. You lose yourself, and a higher consciousness emerges and takes you over. You're operating on a totally higher level of consciousness. Ruach HaKodesh, the Radak says, you lose nothing of your regular feelings, of your regular personality, of your regular characteristics. It's just your words, your thoughts, your poetry, your music, your creativity are enhanced, are infused with a divine inspiration. Hashem inspires your thoughts, your words, your creativity, your emotions, your music, your poetry, whatever it is, with a higher inspiration. And that deems your words and your thoughts as eternal. Because as a result of the divine inspiration that infuses them, they escape the trap of being subjective, temporary, and limited, which by definition, every thought, as creative as it may be, and as emotional and as powerful as it may be, is limited. It's limited because it's an expression of the person's particular subjective mood, character, and feeling. When the words are divinely inspired, they have eternal application. Can a person get divine inspiration at this day and age? Yes. If there's anybody around the table who would like to raise their hand, you're welcome to do it. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody, I don't know if there's so many people walking the streets that have it, but yes. Oh, to Yeshua. By Eldad Medot. Yeah, what was his term? Umiyitin Kalam Hashem Nevi'im. But that didn't happen. But that's a higher level. Prophecy is a higher level. Now, it's obvious, the Gemara says that from the time after the times of Esther, when the second Beis Hamikdash was built, the Gemara says, Esther saves man ha-Nevuah. Esther culminates the era of prophecy, and since then, batla Nevuah. Prophecy became highly, highly uncommon. The times of the first Beis Hamikdash, even the times of the Babylonian exile, prophecy was very common. But Ruach HaKodesh, although also became less common, but that's a dynamic that continued throughout the ages. And there is a book called Shailos HaTshuvos Min HaShamayim by Reb Reuven. Reb Reuven Margolis' edition of Shailos HaTshuvos Min HaShamayim, he has a long introduction going through history, showing all of the sources where different members of the Jewish nation experienced Ruach HaKodesh and even prophecy. But Alter Rebbe says, Asaf might have not been a Navi, but he has Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore he can say something that deals with the community of Israel, Begoyle, in the time of exile, even though he didn't live in the time of exile. According to Rashi's opinion and according to Tosfos' version, he lived in the times of David or in the times of Moshe. But since there's Ruach HaKodesh, so it's bad called Knesset Yisrael Shebegayla. Now, literally, that kapitel in Tehillim, I just want to finish with these lines. That kapitel in Tehillim, kapitel 73, deals with. There's a whole section from Ayin Gimel through Pei Gimel, 73 through 83, is 11 psalms that were said by Asaf. There are more, but those 11 are in one unit. And in many of them, he deals with the problems of exile, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and with, as Rashi puts it in the beginning of 73, with Tzoreseyim Shal Yisrael. He's astonished by the tragedies that befell the Jewish people. And in this particular psalm, he deals with the problem of why do the good suffer, and why do the evil prosper? The good old or bad old question that nobody really ever has or will have an answer for. I mean, this is the place where Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa, but we still don't understand his ways. We can experience Hashem and become one flesh with him, but we don't understand his ways. Over there, there was no Kiddushanu. In Hashem's famous words to Iyav, at the end of Iyav, after all the philosophies to explain evil, Hashem tells Iyav, were you there with me when I created the earth and the heavens? Were you there together with me? If you weren't there with me, don't expect to understand history. You weren't there. You live in your 80, 90, 100 years, you weren't there. Are you going to be with me when history ends? You're not going to be there. So let me deal with it. So we can live with Hashem. We can live with Hashem. You see, that's what Lazar de Krumer meant when he said why he came to Liaz and to the Alter Rebbe. You begin, you know, Tanya particularly, Chassidus in generally, just redefines what it means to be a member in Hashem's world. What Hashem means, as much as we can understand, and therefore what a mitzvah means, and what Torah means. And the joy that ought to encompass and accompany the performance of Torah and mitzvahs. So in any case, this Psalm 73 discusses the tragedies of the world. I mean, he expresses himself in the famous pasuk in Ayin Gimel, how does he say, Kikinesi b'haylalim shloim rishayim era. I'm so jealous of the frivolous. Why do I see that the wicked are so peaceful? Ki ein chartzubois l'maysam uvori yulam. There's nothing that indicates that they're soon going to perish. They're as healthy and as powerful as it can be. L'cheina nakasmei gaiva, their crown is arrogance. And he goes on and on. And according to most interpretations, Rashi, the Mitzudas, the Radak, the Evan Ezra, this is what he's saying. Anivar v'loyeda. I'm foolish, I just don't understand it. Behemoi sayisiyamach. I'm like a beast, I'm like an animal. The Radak says, ein lo das, an animal doesn't have da. I don't know. And still, ani tamid imach. Asaf says, but I still remain loyal to you. I still remain loyal to you. And he brings out at the end of the psalm that by remaining loyal to you, Hashem ultimately showed me part of the answer. And there are different explanations there. And most commentators bring out that basically Hashem showed him that Olam Hazeh, this world is a very little piece of the cake. And if you appreciate the future world, you'll see that in the future world, everything is topsy-turvy. The Alter Rebbe, however, adds a deeper interpretation in this pasuk. And he says, Kloimar, it means. He was prophesizing about a particular era. The era of the Jewish people in the time of exile. Kloimar, and listen to what he's saying. A new point. Asaf is bringing out a new point. Sh'af al pi shani ki behema b'yoysi imach. Even though I am as a beast when I am with you. Anivar v'loyeda, I am foolish and I don't know. And then he continues. Not only that, even when I'm with you, I'm still like a beast. What does that mean? V'loyeda v'loyargish b'nafshi yichudzah. My soul is unaware and insensitive. I know not and I feel not this unity achieved between my soul and Hashem through a mitzvah. For if I would know it, for if I would feel it, so that my soul should naturally first experience a powerful fear and a powerful awe when it's about to do the mitzvah, followed by a great, awesome love of ecstasy, or a love which is like fiery flames of longing, like the quality of the tzaddikim whose corporeality, whose physicality has been refined. So, I'm foolish and I don't know. And even when I'm with you, when I'm with you, when I become one flesh with you, when is that? During a mitzvah. I'm still like a behemoth. That's what he's saying. Literally, we say, I'm foolish, I don't know, I'm ignorant as an animal. With you, concerning you, I'm ignorant. He says, even when I'm with you during a mitzvah, I'm still a behemoth. I know nothing and I feel nothing. I feel nothing of the unity. If I would feel something of the unity, I would experience awe. It would be followed by love. And he says, that's what he means. That's what not knowing means. Ani bar v'layeda, I'm ignorant and I don't know. What does it mean, I don't know? I don't feel. Das doesn't mean intellectual knowledge. Das is a sensitivity of the soul. V'ukoilul chesed and gvura. Therefore, das, the third intellectual faculty, always encompasses love and gvura. Kindness and rejection. Chesed and gvura. As we learned before in chapter 3 and in chapter 42, what das is. So that's what he means. What does it mean, I don't know? You could open up a Tanya chapter 46, and you know what happens through a mitzvah. The Alter Rebbe says, no, I mean to be sensitive. There's knowing and there's knowing. You can know something, but it has no bearing on you. You know, it says in a book, very nice, Kiddushanu b'mitzvah, so beautiful. Das means you apply it to your life. You're sensitive to it. It doesn't develop into an emotion yet. It's still in your intellect, but it's a type of intellect that's applicable to your personal life. You relate to it and you identify with it. Das is intellectual intimacy. That's what Das is. So he says, behemoth, so you see, I'm like a behemoth. Did you ever try taking a cow to a concert? Take a cow to a major symphony. If a person who's a little bit sensitive to music, right, there's a symphony that produces music that's so exquisite and so splendorous, you just melt away in ecstasy, right? But the animal treats the concerto as though it was its stable, and it grunts at the same moments, and it's totally insensitive. Why? Why? And the answer is very simple, because it's a behemoth. A concert, the term concert does not exist in its world. It doesn't exist in its world. You can take it to an art gallery with the most expensive pieces of art. But it really makes no difference. Now, in that sense, when you do a mitzvah, a major concert is happening. The music of divinity is being released. The music, the inner music of Hashem is being released, and it's overwhelming your entire identity, and it's revolutionizing the world. But behemos hayisiyimach, I can be right there with Hashem, in the bedroom, experiencing intimacy, but I'm a behemah. Zakt Asaf, afal pikein ani tamidimach. Nonetheless, I am continuously with you. I'm continuously with you. Why? Ki ein hachaymer meineya yichud hanefesh ba'irin sayiv baruch hu. Because the corporeality of the body does not prevent the union of the soul with the light of Hashem, hamemali kalalman, because Hashem fills all the worlds. And over here he means fills. There's no space that you can cast Hashem away from. So you can't say, since there's a lot of corporeality in this space, Hashem doesn't exist. Hashem can't penetrate it. You might not feel it, but He's there. He fills every space. The difference is if you're a abode for it or not. If you can experience it consciously or not. But the unity is there. Kamei Shekasev, as it's written in Tehillim, Gam Choshech LaYachshik Mimcha. Even darkness cannot obscure you. It can obscure me feeling you. But you are there. So therefore, Vanivar V'Layed, and Nochmerer, Behemei Sayisiyimach, even during the mitzvah. But still, Vanitamidimach, the unity is there. The soul becomes one and emerges into a seamless whole with Hashem. During the mitzvah, because no obscurity and no veil can prevent Hashem from being there. And therefore Hashem in His essential sacredness is present in your consciousness and in your identity and in your soul and in your animal soul when you do the mitzvah. When you refine your body, you can feel more of that transcendence and more of the transcendence. Have a good night and a wonderful week. A holy week. A good chaydish, a freilich chaydish.
David. You with the David?
Yes. The forces of the body is more powerful than the holiness. The holiness doesn't.
It's more powerful for you. Not for Hashem, but for you. What? Of course. You want to know if it's more powerful than the soul?
I think the holiness doesn't overpower this. Doesn't, sometimes a person, even sometimes a person can appreciate when there's something that's...
There can be an overwhelming revelation, but that's not what a mitzvah is. A mitzvah doesn't do that. A mitzvah doesn't do that. Obviously that can happen. A Yom Kippur, maybe by Ne'ilah that happens. Yom Kippur to Ne'ilah, but a regular mitzvah is not that level. He doesn't need, Ratzin is, Cheshik is much deeper. Yeah, obviously.
So what's Ratzin?
Ratzin is you want something. But it's not necessarily that you want. You want to know what's Ratzin and Cheshik. Ratzin, you can want something, but it could be an external Ratzin. It's not necessarily one with you. You're not. You don't really, really want it. Right. You want it, so you're connected with it, but you're not really connected to it. Tomorrow you might want something else. L'mashal, if somebody doesn't want to give a divorce, they force him till he says, I want to. Does he really want to? He doesn't want to. They're telling him to say. He wants to just to get rid of the clap. It's called chitzoni yisaratz. Talk to my body. My body doesn't feel anything. Yeah. Hashem is here, there's no question about it.
Feel good too.
Of course.
And it makes the other people feel good.
Of course.
It would be interesting if he gets the feedback. And we kept saying it's behind us. I've come to him this late. But I'm saying, you don't, you know. I was on trying to get to the phone today. A guy was there, came out with a bicycle. And it's a public phone. That was what pays. I'm like 18, 19 years old. I waited for him to finish. He finished. I wanted to go. No, he's going to. He's beeping me back. We're going to be going. Let me make a second.
Come in, your hash, man. Sie sagen doch nicht, dass ich das schon über mit zwei Sof. Es ist ein Malakalam. Es steht, als die Mitzvah, so Sheva Mitzvah, bin ein Neuach, Function ist Lashevis Yitzara. To make the world a good place, zu machen die Welt a guter Platz. A different type of Mitzvah. Mice is a different thing. When you talk about, for example, Yidden being Kaddish, the whole world was created for Yidden to bring into the world save of Kol Almin. And that includes Umasai Lamosa. So they're also affected by it. Through the Yidden. You understand what I'm saying?
But when the world was created, it wasn't created for the Yidden.
And a chanami. But the purpose was that the Jews should bring in Hashem into the world. The whole world. But Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Neach itself, that doesn't have to do with this level.
I just wanted to ask you two things.
Yeah. Kol ha-mitzvah shayis ha-kela ide levush zaya. The levush in Perek Beis, bepashtus, it says in Maimonim clearly, refers to the nefesh of Noiga, the nefesh of Chiyunis, yeah. The nefesh of Bahamas. Which is a levush to the nefesh of Likis. And you can't do a mitzvah without that levush. Avada, yeah. This whole shtickel and Tanya is a quote from the Arizal. Look at the Torah Parshas Vayeda, the whole piece says, Kemat ois ba'ois. Avada, it's negaya to the Eimeich. But he's talking to the Father. In Perek Gedalet it says that you should be zich mizbeinen as ishach hamas malitzaya. Yeah, favos. Isha dav zich mizbeinen zayn in dem. She dav zich mizbeinen zayn ish is hamas malitzaya. It's the same bizarre. But bizman ahu, these svarim were written to men.
No, Rabbi Leibel Shapiro explained that. He said he means that a woman who's not behaving properly.
Isha hamas malitzaya. It's a Gemara. No, Ish is also Hamas Molitzaya.
Oh, okay.
Ish does not do with a woman or a man. When you go crazy about a body, you should remember what a body is. What's a body? What's a body? It's a Hamas Molitzaya. It's a barrel with a lot of. Not such.
Got it.
Ish has to be Zichmas Bainan that Ish Hamas Molitzaya if she has the problem. It doesn't do the woman. People say, "Oh, it doesn't do the woman is Hamas Mal." It has to do with a person.
It has to do with the body.
A body, not. What? So I think the same thing. When he's talking to the Levush, he has to say, comes from Avivim. Who is he talking to be Mekadosh? He's talking to the father. Avada, if he would be talking to the mother, he would tell her to be Zich Mekadosh. The Gemara in Nida, in the Sugya, in this Indian, the Gemara says, that the husband shouldn't think about somebody else. It doesn't say the woman should not. Avada, she shouldn't also. But the Gemara is not talking to her. Today, if you would say it, you would say it like that also. But to men.
The one learning
the we can't remember, forget that when all these svarim were written, very, very few women were learning. Not most of these svarim, I mean. When Alter Rebbe wrote Tanya, I mean, today women maybe learn Tanya more than men, but it wasn't written to that crowd. But this is a quote, so I think almost word for word from Lakota Teda. Almost word for word. I'm almost sure.
Okay, my question you have to be around for. You were the one who told me that in this sefer, the Haskama, one of the Haskamas was from a Lubavitcher Rav. I wanted to confirm with Rabbi Jacobson, sefer Talayre.
Yeah.
I wanted to confirm with Rabbi Jacobson which one you said Kremenshaw. Which one was the Haskama you referred to? This one? This one?
This one.
Yeah, I want to confirm. Is that?
I don't know. Maybe who is it? I don't know.
The name
sounds. Yosef, is that not genomen? Who has that name? It just says Yosef, Bereb Avram, or Bereb Avdak Kremenshuk. No. Chweisnisht. Kremenshuk was, there were many, many Chabad Chassidim, but I don't know if in Tafresh Chav Gimel the Rav was Lubavitcher, but you can find out.
Okay, how would I find out?
Moonshine, you know Moonshine?
No.
There's a famous Hasidic researcher who lives in Yerushalayim. And he knows all these things. He's an expert on all these types of things. You can call him. Heichel Menachem has his number. I mean, if you want to know, you can call him. He works in the Hebrew University of Yerushalayim. His name is Yehoshua Munshein.
Okay, he speaks English? Or speak to him? No, alright.
Yiddish, Hebrew.
Alright, I'll do my best.
You can ask somebody else to call him.
Okay.
You can ask Brim.
Okay.
One day come here and you can call.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
The other question I have is Rabbi Yochanan talks about Gilui and Hamshacha. What's the contrast between Gilui and Hamshacha?
What he's saying here.
Okay.
What's Pshat? The Yichud happens, but you don't feel it. There's Hamshacha, there's no Gilui. Okay.
Yeah, Hashpa, he uses the word a lot. Hashpa.
Hashpa, but there's no Gilui. Gili means it's internalized in your identity that you consciously experience it. Something can be happening to you, but you don't feel it. That means it's not Begili.
So in the obvious did the Torah, it wasn't Begili.
That's a different Indian. It wasn't Begashmis. Yes, yeah. It wasn't Begashmis. That's different. Yeah, but that's not Negeya here. For Kert, here he's saying that the obvious did experience. Here he's saying they had Kitshana B'mitzvah. They were a Merkava. He's not getting into the difference before. I mean, I've added this different Madregas. Matan Torah is a higher Gedusha than before, but in Tanya, doesn't get into the difference. B'chal in Tanya, the Avos reached the highest level. Even though it says the Gedusha after Matan Torah is a higher Gedusha. Yeah. But
it's not an Indian that's touched upon.
Yeah.
It's not the focus.
But it's nice, he was Mechavan, he said that the Alter Rebbe said this already in Perek Mamalev. At the end of Perek Mamalev, the Alter Rebbe says, L'shem Yichud Kutshabrichu Shchinte. Before you say a mitzvah, you say L'shem Yichud Kutshabrichu Shchinte.
Right.
Why? Because this Kutshabrichu, this Shchinte, that's Soiviv Kalam and Mamalek Kalam.
Right.
And what creates the unity? Yeah. When your soul does a mitzvah, because a mitzvah comes from Kutshabrichu, your soul comes from Shchinte. So when your soul does a mitzvah, you're being mechaber your nefesh alakis with Soiviv Kalam. You're being mechaber kutshabrichu and shchinte, the mucker of your soul with the mucker of Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore it's b'shem kol Yisrael, because all the Jews are one in the level of shchina.
Right.
He says that's what happens through a mitzvah. Through a mitzvah is the chibur of the nefesh alakis with the gedusha of Hashem, with kutshabrichu, Soiviv Kalam. Right. Masha'ena yachal islam b'shabayalamas. And he says there, k'ma shakasav l'kaman, Pirush Yichud Zayin Sham Bayriches. Nobody knows where. He doesn't discuss again L'shem Yichud Kutshabrichu Shchint.
So he was in the Chavin.
So here the Alter Rebbe L'chur is going back to this inyan that through a mitzvah, as Hashem Kedushan of a mitzvah Yisav, you're connected to Kutshabrichu. And Mederech Omeil is Yichud Kutshabrichu Shchint. L'chur, he's saying again,
right.
He's bringing out again the same Nakud of Perek Omala, but here it's in a different context, a different build up, a different.
Yeah,
what's the question?
What does he say, Mamala Kalam?
That's an old Shaila. He says, I'm a Mamala Kalam, and before he's talking about Seviv Kalam, he means something else. Over here, he says, I'm a Mamala Kalam, and it's not in contrast to Seviv Kalam. Hey, Mamala Kalam means Pirish Hamilis. He's in every place, he fills every place. Less Asar Ponimine. There's Mamala Kalaman as a stira to Seviv Kalaman. Seviv Kalaman is that level of Elkuz that's bleakvul. And Mamala Kalaman is that level of Elkuz that's mugbul. Kaychei begvul is magbul himself. Yeah. Here it means Mamala Kalaman. Seviv Kalaman is also Mamala Kalaman. Mamala Kalaman, it fills all the worlds. Not the dargin godliness that lowers itself so that it can become internalized in the keli of the world. Mamala Kalaman is that b'chol makam o'makam, he's there. Side the of Seviv is Bechol Makam Amakam, side the of Mamala Kalaman. Why is that Negeya here? That's why, even though my goof is a Chumri, so you're going to say, so therefore the Eberster can't get in there, so to speak. The nefesh becomes one with Eidin Seif Baruch Hu, because the Eibishter is Mamala Kalam. So when therefore I do a mitzvah, which is Eidin Seif Baruch Hu, so it's Ketushasi Shalakadosh Baruch Hu B'chvedei Ba'atzmei, a mitzvah is Eidin Seif Baruch Hu, so that Eidin Seif permeates my nefesh, and become V'hayu L'Basar Echad. My goof is not a keli for it. My goof is not a keli for it, but Gam Chayshech L'Yachshech Memcha, because he's Mamala every single place. The Eibishter is Mamala Kalam, and since a mitzvah is the Eibishter, so to speak, so the Eibishter is Nimshachim. No, but Mamala Kalam, and even without a mitzvah. Gam Chayshech L'Yashkrim Chak, Kavayachal, even in Makam HaKlippus, Les Asar Panimine. What's the difference? The difference is if the Velt is a Kaili or not. So usually the Eberst is Mamala Kalam, but he's Mamala Kalam, and on his own. When I do a mitzvah, my nefesh does a mitzvah, so Eirin Sof is Nimshach in me. Kedushas Yishlakadosh Baruch Hu B'chvedei Ba'atzmei is Nimshach in me. My nefesh experiences that Eirin Sof, but it doesn't feel it. Without a mitzvah, the Eberster is everywhere, but it doesn't have to do with me. When I do a mitzvah, my nefesh now experiences Eirin Sof B'chvedei Ba'atzmei, but I don't feel it, because the guf. What he's saying. That's Negeim, and Malik Alaman, and therefore it's not Menei, the Yichud HaNefesh. That the Nefesh should now become one with Save of Kalaman, should experience Save of Kalaman, and if they're not for the Guf, then you would feel, the Nefesh would feel it. You would feel it. You would feel the Yichud with Save of Kalaman, and therefore there would be an Amen, a Pachad, an Ava Betanugim, an Ava Kirisveyesh, Kemidas HaTzadikim, Shenizdachi Chumra. It's a very reiche sprach he uses it. Gam chayshech l'yachshech mimcha. From mimcha, chayshech is nishmakshech. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Who, Teresa? Yeah. She brought Hashem into the world, there's no question.
But she kept going, and so she liked to, like, 87.
She did a lot of good things.
So I guess
she helped countless people.
So I guess it's one continuous mitzvah.
Yeah.
And she gets oil and papa.
Yeah. Yeah. The moral Gentiles have a chelik in Elam Ab. Fine.
And the other thing I have, just while I was loving, every time it says Hashem's name, you get different vowels on it. Why?
Different levels.
I've never seen that before.
Which siddur is this?
I don't know.
It's different levels. In Hashem's name, is there many different levels. Different akudas express different levels. Different spheres, different emanations, yeah. Yeah. Oh, about the Kaddish Natsim Shas Tashmish, yeah.
Mine sounds somewhat foreign to me.
That
one. I think so, Kaddish is a bris. It's all somehow an extension of Kaddish is a bris.
So this is Bechonet Shayach, means that so.
And you know your Pashish meaning. His dream is sorry that Chanukh, which this week says, is a Yidin Raven, Bechina Zuchel. He touches on this very issue, how it relates to but Bechayah, it's not just a question of
So you're saying the whole union of Kedusha doesn't apply to women?
Well, it's right to Chishtal Shilas. jeder von da bis an der Stuhl und wir dönen zum Beispiel mit der Aufkeit der Jeden in seinem Kedische.
Ist was sagst du bei Peil? Also der Mama darf sich nicht bekannt sein? Das
ist nicht, ich wollte sehen, dass er war der Fall, ja.
No. Fragt er, was sagt der Narr auf der Tat? Die Kaderschatz, was nicht steht der Kaderschatz? Fragt er, was steht das Narr auf der Tat allemal? Nicht dafür. Sie soll sich mit Zeier sein in Janem von Gedusch. Was ist das? Was ist das? Steht in Paskim, soll sich mit Zeier sein, Zulis hat Zadikim. Der Ramm soll sich mit Zeier sein, Shemayim. Was ist das? Na, viele Hechere da ist. Lashem Shemayim, ich habe kein Schiff, was er sagt nicht mehr. Was ist das? Nein, Pedig Beis. Er hat nicht Zadikim.
It's a little bit of a Because the Ike Shmi is a bit of a Ike, I'm a Yidin Daz of Shmael. I'm a Noyim this week. It goes in, it says, Ike from Midl Hashem, it's all come out, Shmi is a bit. Where is
that?
I'm
a Noyim,
I think. I
didn't
see it.
Noyim Ali Malach?
I'm a Noyim, I think.
After Zariah, is the Ike Teres of Hashem Tavis?
No, I'm a Noyim on Shmini. I don't remember if he somehow not explicitly, but he somehow...
As was as also given the Ike from Teresa Vashantov?
I don't know, I don't remember the name. I remember it's still up, but also, I remember it could be Ali.
As was the word, as was?
Ike from Teresa Vashantov, and then he's a...
For Shmiris Abris.
But he told his son.
He told the basis, so?
And Nachum asked him, the mitzvah, 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 the
The reference.
It's a bit of Elliot, it's a bit of Beru. Don't say the last name to Mark and change the last name, but Mestam this is.
Yeah, Vanda. That's the new top fish of Gemma.
Yeah.
So who was.
Benabelio. Lama did Slot Divid in a Chem, yeah?
It says Av
Bezdin. He was a Lubavitcher Chassid. He was the Av Bezdin of Kremenchuk. He was a Talmud by the Divrei Nechemya. The Divrei Nechemya was a famous Chabad Pesach. Mm-hmm. He wrote footnotes on the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. He was the Rebbe of Kremenchuk. The Tzemach Tzedek was his Rebbe. And the Tzemach Tzedek would send him Shilas and Agunas. Mm-hmm. And he died in Tafresh Lamed Dalet.
Exactly.
1874. He was a young man, obviously. He was born in Tovkofayin Tess. So Pei Tess, Tzadik Tess. Wow, he's very young.
55.
Yeah, they say he died suddenly, yeah.
At the age of 55.
Yeah. And then it wasn't. You know, then a lot of people died.
In the time of Tzemach Tzadik.
Well, he lived after the Tzemach Tzadik. Tofri Shlomo Dalad.
This is the Tzemach Tzadik.
Okay. So that why are you so into this? I'm just wondering.
No. This is a safe I've been learning for a couple of years.
Talaitis?
Yeah. This Rav Yitzhak Ginsburg asked me to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So a few times I want this. No, you gotta finish.
Talaitis.
Yeah. Said so you gotta learn it through. So,
interesting.
So I wanted to. The first 10 chapters of Chassidus, you'll recognize it easily.
Yeah. Okay. Sada? Okay, I'll go to Nacht.
I was just trying to understand, verify back, you know, who the author was, and I've been learning it.
We should have it here every week. It's a machaya, though.
Yeah, we all prefer it here.
But there's Tali in them.
I know.
You have to convince...
Who? Mayor Kunai?
Talk to him.
I don't know, Rabbi Dauphin told me that this has to do with the perception of certain people of Yiddish, English Shiurim in,
yeah.
In this part of the universe.
Yeah, he wants it to be a library. Thus?
He starts with this, starts with was more my impression. He doesn't say the more language with the thrust of how he puts it down, but you see that was a core.
Ja, das.
Nu, wat vraag je toch?
Hier het is onnodig in deze, en op de andere dagen het is
different.
Why? Het haak staat op de eerste one, het is onnodig in
deze. Onnodig in deze. En alle kim. En dan is de Jood.
De next day.
Je gaat neen of first. Geestest.
Is it from Deltarev?
Oh, this Lashon.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.